Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Hey folks, how's it going? Isaac the Nothing Miller here. I also have Chip, the creator of Kayak Fishing Radio on the line. How's it going, Chip?
All right, man. How are you this evening?
Not too bad. You know, just thought I'd start off with my fishing tale of the day. Made plans to head out this morning for halibut here on the Oregon coast. And buddy's like, yeah, I got a great new launch spot, got a great new fishing hole. And, you know, we'll meet up, head down there and you know, catch our halibut. So I drive down last night. It's about a 200-mile drive each way. So I drive there last night. We get up in the morning, head down, get to this spot, and it is rocky. Big, giant, softball-size rocks all over the place. And we're, like, looking at that, I'm like, great, we're going to have, you know, carry our gear from the parking lot to the kayaks in this nasty rock. And start looking at the surf, and it's like, man, you know, they said it was supposed to be 2 foot today. Look at things up on the phone again, and now they're saying 4 foot. It's going to come down to 3. I was like, that's fine, you know, 3 to 4 foot. That's not a problem for most of us fishing here in Oregon. But we're watching these waves come in, and they're just huge. And we hit beach right at low tide. I'm like, well, let's, you know, this is looking pretty treacherous right now. So let's just wait it out. We'll go into town 5 minutes away, grab a cup of coffee, come back and take a look. Well, we do just that. Come back. We're gone maybe an hour at most, 45 minutes to an hour. Pull back into the parking lot. Look out. Tide's coming back in. The waves have come down, but things are still looking pretty rough. Well, there's two rock points that we're trying to get right in between, and there's a stream that's coming into the ocean at the same spot. So I'm watching here. I see this perfect seam. You know, you can pretty much come off the inside of one point and right across the tip of the other, and you're going to pretty much be riding the stream all the way through the surf. And it was fairly doable. I give it 2 minutes. I look again, and that whole thing's gone. It's a mess. Waves are crashing, breaking in 4 to 6 feet tall. So it's not even close to what we were expecting. So we stand there for a while longer. We're scratching our heads some more. And then it's flat again. So we just ended up sitting there for an hour watching things, trying to decide whether we're going to go out just because, you know, 1 minute it was flat. We can get out, no problem. The second minute, treacherous. Pretty much called
long sets, man.
Yeah, it was insane. And then even when it was laying down, you know, like I said, it would lay down for 2 minutes flat. And it's like, okay, but look where it's building up. You could see the surf building up in the distance. And every once in a while, you know, and it was probably about a half mile out, there was an 8-foot break. So we were listening to the marine radio while we were watching things out or watching things unfold, and sure enough, my buddy's radio ended up dying. So we pretty much called it quits at that point. We didn't feel safe going out, the two of us with only one VHF radio. You know, if we needed help and in that place, we probably would have. You know, we definitely wanted to have both radios so we can get a hold of the Coast Guards if we needed to. But
right.
Just didn't quite work out that way. So, And I got
better safe than sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and as we sat there and the tide came in, because it was, you know, we had a big 9.5-foot tidal exchange today. As we're watching the tide come in, things just got messier and messier and messier. So we ended up calling it quits and going home with our tail tucked between our legs and no halibut to show for it. But it's the first time I've ever taken the kayak out to go fishing and never went fishing.
you got a caller.
Yeah. We got Jason in here, it looks like. Bring him on. How's it going, Jason?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Not too bad. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West.
Today?
What's that?
Where were you guys today?
South at Yahats. A little wayside, Bob Creek wayside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, obviously didn't get our homework in on that launch. I said if we could have gotten the kayaks to the water without breaking a leg, we would have been off to a good start. But
go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
We were at Cascade Head on Monday, and it was just after the minus tide, and there was beaches where I had never seen beaches before. So there's definitely been a big tide exchange happening the last week or so.
Yeah, with the full moon today, that definitely does it. Today was another big minus tide, 2.5 feet minus.
Wow.
Yeah. Dang. So for everyone calling in, this is Jason Self, one of the only kayak fishing guides that I know of in the state of Washington. Is that correct?
As far as I know.
As far as I know.
There might be other people out there now, but I haven't met anybody else yet.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and introduce yourself here, Jason. Tell us about you.
So, yeah, I've been running a few four-day San Juan bottom fishing trips up there in Washington for years. And we have another one coming up June 2nd through 5th, mostly going for lingcod, but there's also cabezon and greenling up there as well. Occasionally halibut, but we don't really target them, and a little too early for salmon, so mostly lingcod on this round.
Right on. I know you've had some pretty good luck up there in years past for halibut, or not for halibut, I'm sorry, for lingcod.
Yeah, I've been guiding all the sea kayak trips up there for the last 4 years or so that Alder Creek runs here in Portland. And so I've done some fishing up there. I've spent personal time up there fishing too, and it's a really awesome place to kind of cut your teeth on saltwater fishing. There's no surf to deal with, so not really any swell. Occasionally you get 3-4 foot swell, but it never really breaks. So it's super easy if you can work the currents and tides and get out and learn how to fish saltwater for bottom fish. And it's a nice place to do it.
It's a beautiful part of the country, that's for sure. Anybody that's spent any time looking at fishing in Washington has undoubtedly seen photos, even if they were thinking about doing some tourism in Washington. They've seen some photos of the San Juan Islands. Beautiful country there in the north part of the Puget Sound.
Oh, it's awesome.
So now these are 4-day overnight trips, right?
Yeah.
Camping out the whole way?
Yeah, we do. So the June trip is kind of a cush deal. We're camping at West Beach Resort on Orcas Island. And we are tent camping, but there are facilities there for showers and toilets, and there's a little store on site. So less rustic than the sea kayaks we do, where we typically will go out to Jones Island or to Cypress Island or Strawberry Island and set up a base camp and then do most of our traveling from paddling. So we're touring more on those trips. On this trip, we're fishing 99.9% of the time. Less time going from spot to spot, more time fishing.
That's an excellent idea when you're on a fishing trip, that's for sure. Now, here's an interesting note. You've mentioned a couple of times the sit-inside kayaks. And that's one of your guilty pleasures, some would say. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's pretty much my... it's the only boat I own right now is a sea kayak. I've had sit-on-tops before, and I do enjoy them, but I find... For me, the versatility of a sea kayak for what I like to do is the way to go. And that's, you know, like when we go to Cascade Head or go out to the Oregon coast, you know, I'll crab for an hour or 45 minutes or whatever it takes to get the crab I need. And then we'll go surf for an hour or two, and then we'll go out to the caves, and then we'll go to the rocks and jig for a minute, catch some fish. And so... I like to do a lot of things, and I had a Scupper Pro, and it was great for fishing, but man, it's such a slog in 13, 14 foot boats to get out through the break, and I just miss that efficiency of sea kayaks a lot. So
yeah,
I deal with it fishing.
Yeah, if you're out doing that much traveling around and wanting to cover ground, you know, that sea kayak is definitely the way to do it.
Oh yeah. I mean, last week we were in 14-foot Jackson Journeys, and that they were great boats, like so forgiving and easy to deal with in the surf and the swell. But, God, it was like getting out past the break, I swear, it was 3 days. I mean, it just went on and on and on.
Wow.
And I just miss that efficiency. You know, like I'm just not used to the slowness.
Right.
If it wasn't for that, I would totally... There'd be many other boats I would prefer to fish out of.
I can understand that for sure. So you've got two kayak fishing expeditions, so to speak, out in the San Juans. What else you got going on this year?
We're working on, I've got kind of a side project with my girlfriend and one of my other paddling buddies. And we're trying to do some filming and make some, an attempt at a documentary film. We're trying to get down to the Gulf this coming winter to do a long kayak fishing expedition and kind of do a bit of research for Waterkeeper Alliance while we're down there, some sampling and data collection for them. But yeah, just hopefully get down there and make a movie of it. That's the goal.
This is the out of sight, out of mind thing.
It is, yeah.
Cool, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to do shooting at the coast here, just a little bit of short stuff, and then hopefully get down to the Gulf November and December.
Excellent, excellent. So, have you done much fishing so far this year? Anything? I know you've gone out at least a couple of times, but... Haven't heard too
much. You know,
much.
I tried the crab hawk with the hand line last weekend, and that was pretty awesome, I got to admit. I learned a key lesson, though. I have that 40-pound mono leader I usually use for jigging, and instead of taking the leader off and putting the crab hawk to the rope, I took the jig off and put the crab hawk to the leader and then lost it after maybe 15 minutes of fishing on the rocks.
Mm.
But in that 15 minutes, you know, pulled in 3 crab, and it was fun. So the potential is there. And I have the crab buzz. I haven't got it ever in the last decade. I haven't really cared about crabbing. And now it's all I can think about is getting back out with the crab hawk.
Boy, you know, we're not even in the good time of crab season either.
I know.
Well, hopefully it'll stick with you. Definitely, you know, crab season best generally September, October, November.
Yeah, totally.
So hopefully you can keep that lust for the Dungeness that long.
The days on the ocean here have been fairly limited. So, you know, I haven't had a big wing on the line yet this year. And once I do, I'm sure I'll be captivated by bottom fishing again.
That'll likely happen, yes. Yeah, I picked up a couple of lings so far this year. The largest has only been just a hair shy of 36 inches.
Oh, so nice.
Was Very nice, yeah. Still looking for something bigger. It'll happen someday. Now, you hinted to hand lines.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about those. What's the deal with the hand line?
You know, the first few week, 10-day trips I did out of a kayak, I took my rods and reels, and the two trips I did that with, I killed both rods, both reels, and just decided I wasn't going to do it anymore, especially for jigging, because it's so simple, you know, and I just saw Way Cool, I think, on the internet one day and ordered one up and went out and tried it and had so much fun with it. I mean, as soon as I dropped it down, you know, lunch break on a San Juan's trip, I just dropped a jig down and started popping up fish, and I was hooked. And I've just been adapting it to everything I do ever since, really. And it's essentially 75 or 100 feet of 3-millimeter climbing rope with a 200-pound snap swivel on it that I attach about 4 feet of 40-pound mono to, and then the jig of your choice. Drop it down while sea kayaking. Bounce it around, pull up fish.
Not a bad deal. Now, that's just... Now, the hand line's a large spool, right?
Well, this, I don't really know what proper hand lining is. This comes on a little kite winder type deal. It's not a huge electrical winder. It's just a flat piece of plastic to wrap the rope around.
Okay.
And when I fish with it, I essentially just pull the line up into my lap. I don't really try and wind it, so I'm really just pulling rope on rope on rope on rope.
Well, it's kind of like
the proper way to do it.
So it's kind of like pulling in fly line.
Yeah, essentially. It's like if you broke your rod and you had a fish on the end, what would you do?
Yeah. All right. Now, how long have you been working with the hand lines?
I guess it's almost been maybe two or 3 years now. The only time I've actually used a rod in the last 2 years is on our Alaska trips when we're fly fishing. Everything else I've done the last 2 years is bottom fishing.
Nice, nice. Yeah, Chip just posted up a link in the chat room to one of the many hand lines out there. Gives people an idea of what we're talking about here. So, awesome.
I learned as a kid down in Florida, off the bridges and the keys and stuff.
You guys mentioned that Cuban yo-yo thing last time. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you can see the way it's in that little picture there. You would stick your hand in the way it's sitting. It does have a high side on it, okay, and that would go up against the palm of your hand. So you would turn the reel towards the fish, face out, and that would allow the line to just free spool off of it. And then when you're fighting the fish, you turn the reel parallel to the direction of the fish and wind with your other hand, see? So, but you don't want to get that confused, man, because when a big one starts running, you don't want it to spin on your hand.
Yeah. Lose a finger, yeah. I had the guy at Way Cool make me this 300-footer for halibut, and it comes on like a swivel spool thing, and I got a couple 100-footers, and just pulling up 100 feet of rope is a real pain. I didn't even try the 300-footer. I gave up. Wasn't even going to deal with that thing.
Oh, I can imagine it can be some work, because I know what it's like to pull up crab pots,
yep.
You know, and that's just dead weight, and that's a thick rope. You know, I couldn't imagine, you know, a fish, you know, something the size of a ling cod fighting the other end on a thinner rope. That's going to be some work.
No, it's surprisingly easy. I mean, there is weight to it, but the way that the bottom fish fight, they don't really run, you know. They go straight down. And so when you, it's like turning the head. Once they're turned and facing up and you are pulling line in, there's almost nothing they can do. I really haven't. I mean, even the big ones I caught last year weren't really other than like pulling up a tire, it wasn't really that bad, you know?
Nice. Well, that's good to hear. I might have to give that a try sometime.
It's really fun, man. It's like wrangling fish, you know? And you feel it. It's just like, to me, it's really fun to do something so simple to catch fish instead of all the complicated things that we typically get into. And it's just drop down a line and pull up a fish.
Nice. So here's a question for you. Have you done any shrimping from the kayak?
You know, actually, I was thinking about that just mm-hmm. because the spotted prawns are going off in the San Juans when we're up there. It's too deep. It's that same problem, the 300 feet.
300 foot.
I've really been thinking about it, but you got to devote a lot of time to it, and it's a lot of work, and I just don't. You know, I want to feel that shaking of the head. I don't want to pull up a basket of little shrimp.
Yeah. That I understand. Yeah, because, you know, I mentioned that because I do know shrimping is starting up right now up there in the north part. And from what I understand, it's been doing pretty well. And I went back and I rewatched Howard McKim's video of how he rigs things up for shrimping. Have you seen that one?
Uh-uh.
Using, you know, your standard shrimp traps, he rigs them up with Dacron and uses a large two-speed reel. And he just clips the Dacron into the reel and pulls it up and down. Just cranks it up using the Dacron. Ingenious.
Oh, that's smart.
It is. There was an issue of Kayak Angler. Oh, probably late 2009 that had a write-up from Howard McKim on that whole setup, and it's brilliant. It looks real simple to do. Like I said, he does also have it on a video, and I just posted a link to that in the chat room. So if anyone's listening in, get into the chat room. You can catch that link. It's a great little setup and something that I'm eager to try one of these days.
I'm watching the video right now, and I'm totally going to do this.
Yeah, you know, I unfortunately don't get up there enough to give it a try. One of these days, though, I will get up there. I also hear bottom fishing up there in the north part of Washington's been pretty good lately. Another great video for you. Bryce Mullenkamp, Washington's Hobie Pro, picked up what looked to be a 5-foot octopus on his kayak. We got some great video of that, both in and out of the water. Actually, we never get to see the octopus out of the water, but I do know it did go home. And there was some taco poke made.
Nice.
Yeah. Of course, they used my recipe for the poke. Yeah, here was some good stuff. Octopus is one of those things. Octopus and squid both. Something I'd love to catch at least once. I know they're going to be a lot of work. From what I understand, Bryce thought that he had a snag. You know, and sat there and was trying to work his snag out of the rocks when it finally came loose, and it was a big old giant octopus.
So here's a trick for you that my friends in California, Northern California, would do. They would take beer growlers or like big mason jars,
mm-hmm.
and drop them down to the bottom, you know, like a headland or a area with a cave or lots of rocks, and tie a float off to it like a crab trap, and the octopus crawl into that jar, and then you come back in a day or two and just pull it up, and it's got an octopus in it.
Yeah, you know, clay vases do very well at that too.
Yeah.
The old porcelain or clay preferably, because it seems more like a natural rocky structure. It's, you know, it's rough, and it's not going to break as easily when it hits the bottom.
Right.
I know a few people that have done that. This was killer. He caught this one on hook and line. And they said the main reason it went home was because it did swallow every hook on that leader. So it probably wasn't going to make it anyway.
Okay.
Done much fishing here in Oregon lately? In around Portland at all? I don't know. Do you, have you tried trolling with your hand line?
You know, I've done a couple half-hearted attempts, but I'm not into trolling, honestly. Like, I had that really bad year a couple years ago trying to catch a springer on the Columbia, and it pretty much ruined trolling for me forever.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's for sure. I've spent way too many hours the last couple of years trying to find a springer, and it just hasn't happened. I do know they just opened up the lower part of the Willamette again. Or, I'm sorry, the lower part of the Columbia got opened back up this week. Unfortunately, eastern Oregon and eastern Washington, a lot of rivers are next to flood stage. So they've got Bonneville Dam wide open, and the flows on the Columbia are way up.
It's ripping.
Exactly.
I was out a couple of days ago, and the water was higher than I've actually ever seen it.
Yeah. They're expecting it up to, or actually over 500,000 CFS tomorrow. It's just getting crazier and crazier and crazier. So, and of course, that's got the Willamette backed up. So the lower part of the Willamette's not fishing all that great because the water's not moving. The Willamette's just hitting the Columbia and stopping. So fishing
is
slow anyway.
No shortage of people in the hog line out there, though. Every morning I drive to work and see them.
Yep. I see them as well. Where there's plenty of people out there, not a whole lot of catching going on. I went out last Thursday, maybe it was Friday after work, and we had three other kayak anglers there. Actually, one of them was in his boat, but he's got a kayak too. We didn't see anything caught at all. Everyone else that was on the water hadn't seen a thing. And we had an outgoing tide, and the water was just barely moving. Barely moving. So that doesn't hurt or doesn't help the bite out at all either. Other cool things that happened this week. The up in Alaska, the Anchor Point Calcutta King Salmon Derby, for the first time ever had two. They at least had one kayak fishing team out there on the water, which I thought was great. This is normally, I mean, this event's been going on for a long time. And these guys got out there. It was a husband and wife team, if I remember correctly. Got out there on their kayaks and did fairly well. You know, definitely proved. I know they picked up one fish right there at the end and did a good job to show all these other guys out there in their, you know, $40,000 boats that, hey, a kayak is definitely a fishing vessel. One of them was actually fishing out of a Mini X. That little, what is that, 9 foot?
It's a great little boat, man.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I have nothing but, awe.
The guys at Yak Angler have mine right now.
You know, it's a great little boat, but salt water in Alaska? You know,
it's
that
pretty
was
stable. If you're a small person, it would be okay.
Yeah, who knows? Well, it is pretty wide, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 32, 34. It's pretty wide. It'll hold like 300 pounds.
So it's a brick. It's a short little
around.
Brick.
Yeah, it's like an inner tube, man.
Okay, I gotcha.
Still shape.
But, you know, that, and there's a lot of people, especially around the Kenai Peninsula, that are taking up kayaks. And on one website, AlaskaOutdoorJournal.com. It's just a small bulletin board of just local folks talking about fishing. I caught at least four or five guys on there talking about fishing from their kayaks. We're talking Malibus, Native Ultimates, the Mini-X, and I know several others up there with Ocean Kayaks and Hobies and the works. So things are definitely picking up for the Alaska kayak fishing team, and undoubtedly places like Howard McKim's Ketchikan Kayak Adventures definitely helps that out. Other news. Here, I hinted on the earlier show in the chat room that I might have some news for the East Coast folks. We have from Portland news about the Jacksonville kayak fishing classic, which was last weekend down in Jacksonville, Florida. Second place winner, Wally Gomez, Portland. We had, you know, how about that? We had a West Coast guy from Portland. Wally took second place in the Jacksonville, Florida Kayak Fishing Classic. He picked it up with a 60.6-inch slam. So he was just a half-inch shy from first place. Not bad for some guy from Portland. Of course. Yeah, thanks for that sound effect, Chip. Of course, he's been living in Florida now for 2 or 3 years. So he's definitely had plenty of time to learn how to fish it down there. What else we got? Down in California, big stuff. Here within the last, here this month, the Rockfish has opened up there. And so guys have been doing excellently when the weather allows them to get out and go fishing. The big holdup, though, like I said, is the weather. The fish are there. The winds are up along much of the coast, from what I understand. If you head inland and try the San Francisco Bay, down around there, the California halibut are biting. And from all the pictures I've seen, they're pretty good size, too. So that's pretty much all the news I have around the West Coast for fishing. So, Chip, how you doing? You're kind of quiet over there.
I'm good, man. I'm this weekend we're going to be getting everything together for Memorial Day. We're headed down to going to go down to Cedar Key. So we're going to spend a weekend. Well, long weekend, doing some fishing down there, but I'm totally stoked, man, listening to you guys talking about that video with those prawns, dude. I'm in, man. When prawn season comes, you gotta let me know, because give me a good heads up, because that looked way
cool,
man.
I'm gonna have to give it a whirl. I'll be there in 2 weeks. I'm gonna try it. Yeah. The guys last year were
300 feet, huh?
Yeah, and honestly, last year, every guy in a powerboat was just pulling up, you know, five-pound baskets left and right.
So what's the regs on that, huh?
You know,
I got to find out
really
the
sure.
exact specifics.
Because, I mean, it's pretty tricky down here on the Gulf Coast and Georgia and Florida, because each state has their own, you know, that has a saltwater fishery for shrimp. Each state
yeah.
has their own regs on recreational shrimping. So,
oh, dude, and in the San Juans, they have each section of islands has its own regulations.
Yeah, the state of Washington has all the saltwater areas divided up into something along the lines of 18 different marine zones, and each one of those zones it has its own regulations. So definitely need to look up the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's website and get the latest up-to-date information. But generally, as far as, you know, as long as shrimping season is open, in that area. I don't think that there's any regulations as far as size, type of bait. There is regulations on the type.
Daily limit of 10 pounds.
10 pounds. It's a lot of shrimp.
Is that heads on?
Heads on, yes.
Okay. I mean,
it just may be removed.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, I'd be twisting them. Nothing but tails in my bucket.
That is a lot of shrimp.
Huh.
And they're
in
good.
Florida, if you're going to use a trap in Florida, I mean, they have the stinking dimensions of what that, you know, that trap has to be, how big the opening can be and stuff.
Yeah, and we do have that. We do have that. And that is universal for every marine zone within the state. So the same trap you use in the south part of the Puget Sound would be the same one you would use in the Strait of Juan de Fuca, the same one you would use off the coast. So that much they at least have tied together. Seasons do vary, though.
So I'm cool, man. Find me a place that I can rent a Hobie, and I'm out there when you guys go prawning.
A Hobie?
I mean, it's that first week of June is when it's going off. I'm going to give it a whirl.
So we're only like 2 weeks away, huh?
Yeah.
My understanding is they're already showing up.
I'm sure they are, yeah.
So, the other week was the Paddle Festival. You were there for that, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. God, I still have a sunburn.
Still have a sunburn. Oh, that was the summer weekend.
Yeah, that was summer in Portland.
Yeah.
Gone now. It was nice, though. Yeah, it was awesome. We had 2,000 people over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, coming and sitting in on clinics and demoing boats. And it was a lot of fun, man.
Awesome. So how many different boats did you have out there? Any idea off the top of your head?
150, probably 200, something like that.
Wow. Now, and then you also did you do the kayak fishing demonstration?
I did, yeah, and then I did the safety and rescue for kayak fishermen as well.
Excellent.
I went out and flipped them over and learned how to tow and all kinds of good stuff. I learned that I cannot roll the Jackson Coosa, no matter how hard I try.
That might be... A little bit of unpaid advertising.
Well, you would never need to roll it. It's just the monkey trick that I do.
Okay.
Did you tie yourself to the seat?
I had thigh straps. I attached thigh straps, but the seat pan, I had the standard version, so it's like a injection molded, really wide seat pan. And so I would just totally slide off to the side every time.
Yeah.
Unlike the, I could roll the Trident and I can roll the Scupper Pro, but not the Coosa.
Not so bad. At least it's good to know that you guys had some good weather for that.
Oh, it was awesome.
So, well, you know what? I guess that might be it for the night. Jason, let the folks know how they can get a hold of you, how they can find you on the internet, and find out more about your adventures.
Yeah, so basically the easiest way to find me is Facebook, Jason Self on Facebook, and our San Juan trips, you can check out aldercreek.com, and there's info basically on everything we do on that website, including the fishing trips. Also have a blog, kayakangler.blogspot.com.
Excellent. Excellent.
Cool.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Chip, thank you for sitting in back there and letting me know when Jason was giving me a call. Joining in tonight.
No worries, man.
Right on.
I'd like to see you more on here, Jason, man. Let us know what's going on. I'd like to follow you on that on your trip this summer in the, down the Gulf Coast. Maybe we can meet you down there
or
something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'd definitely like to hook up when we're down there. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe cool, maybe Chip can find you guys a shower because I'm sure they'll want one.
Yeah, totally.
You guys gonna fly in?
You know, I think we're just because we got to haul boats down. I think we're driving, man.
Okay.
Not that we want to. I mean, I wish I could teleport.
You know what your first port is going to be?
We're coming down through Texas first, so we were going to start around the Padre or Port A area, Port Aransas, and then work our way over just basically all the way around the Gulf down to the Keys. Over
have you
the
touched
course
base with the guys at Austin Kayak?
You know, not personally. I've, you know, kind of done my spamming on Facebook on their pages, but other than that, I haven't really talked to them yet. But I'm from Austin, and so I'll definitely be able to round up a good crew down there, and we'll definitely get in touch with those guys when we get a little closer.
Yeah, they've been on the show a couple of times with us, so get in touch with them. They're good folks.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll certainly, you know, we'll track you on the show here. See where
cool,
you guys
right
are
on
at.
That. Whenever I can make time, I'll be there.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, folks, for joining. Of course, if you're listening in, check out kayakfishingradio.com for all of the various kayak fishing radio shows, including Kayak Fishing Radio West, Chip Show, the original Kayak Fishing Radio. We now also have Rob DeVore's A Bad Bad Cast Radio, which was on just a couple hours ago. And then we've got, what's that, the Central Atlantic Show now?
Mid-Atlantic with
Mid-Atlantic,
Mark
yeah.
Wheeler.
Awesome. Growing, got lots cool. of shows. So, makes for a full week. Four different
right.
shows. All right.
Connect with us on Facebook. And
yep.
We tweet Kayak Fishing Radio. Just take out the I and the G.
Yep, Kayak Fishing, Fish and Radio.
That's right.
And, all right.
See you next week, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for joining in, guys. Have a good
yeah,
one.
Thank you, Isaac.
Welcome.